there is a rapture, a biblical event in which people around you just disappear, if you're a Christian, wouldn't you wonder, why not me? In Tom Perata's 2011 novel, The Leftovers, that's just one of the hellish questions asked on Earth after millions are whisked off to heaven. And this Sunday, The Leftovers debuts on HBO. As it begins, a busy mom in the small town of Mapleton, New York, is in the car talking on the phone when suddenly something goes missing.
It's a red button. Oh, my God, just press it in with a pen or something. Oh. Perfect. It'll start back up. Okay, I'm in the car right now. Can you make the formula? I'm going to be home. And
her baby's gone, along with some 140 million others, 2% of the world's population. Is it the rapture? Well, the Pope is gone, but so is notorious actor Gary Busey. In fact, this rapture includes Hindus, Muslims, Jews, alcoholics. Tom Perata not only wrote the book The Leftovers, he also co-created the show and serves as executive producer. He joins us in the studio. Congratulations, right?
Oh, thanks, yeah.
It is congratulations?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, what's it been like to see the book go to TV?
It's been a very strange and exciting process for me. You know, I've had books turned into films before, and in that case, what you're doing is trying to compress the story so that it fits into, you know, a two-hour format. And here we have 10 one-hour episodes for the season, so the book has grown beyond its boundaries. We've created new characters. We've invented new stories to tell. So it's really been process of transformation and creating something new, and it's been great.
Well, has the book, besides growing, changed? I mean, the book is the world 3 years after this sudden disappearance of 2% of the world's population, and there's a quietness to the book. There's sometimes an almost mundaneness to the world, which makes it even more chilling, you know, but we're talking HBO, where people want screaming zombies with their apocalypse. They want red weddings, bloody red weddings, you know, with their mythology. Were you pushed or did you feel inclined to do more of that kind of explosive television?
Yeah, I think one of the things that really happened in this transformative process is that the quietness of the book was amped up. So, and we had Peter Berg direct the first two episodes. He's the director who did Lone Survivor. He did Friday Night Lights, and he's known for his virtuoso action scene. So he really brought his flair to the show. And then Damon Lindelof, who co-created Lost, was the co-creator of the show with me, and he brought his ability to tell a very suspenseful, twisty story. So, yes, I think readers of the book will find that The Leftovers has been given a shot of adrenaline.
Yeah, it's not as much internal dialogue. It's external action, a little more external action.
Yeah, and that, I think that's inevitable in film because it's really hard to get inside the heads of characters. But we have an amazing cast, and I think what you get instead of the inner lives are these faces, these incredibly expressive faces and voices of our actors.
Well, and how did this come to be for you, this whole idea? You have said, you know, when the book came out, that it came out of a lot of thinking about evangelical culture.
Yeah, you know, I wrote a book called The Abstinence Teacher, which was about the culture war that was raging. I think it was raging much hotter 10 years ago when I first started thinking about that. And I wanted to write a story that was fair to both sides of this cultural divide. And to do that, I needed to look deeply at evangelical culture. And if you do, you find that the rapture is at the center of it. And that's the story of, you know, the book Left Behind. That's much more a kind of novelization of the biblical prophecy. I tweaked it for The Leftovers. The rapture is very ambiguous, as you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. I was borrowing this concept, which seemed to me so powerful. You know, there's something crazy about this idea of people just disappearing. But there's also something very true about it, because any one of us who gets to be the age that, you know, I'm a little bit over 50 right now, and, you know, I know people who've died suddenly. And they were there one day and they weren't there. And it's something that the first time it happens to you, I think the world feels different forever.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to use it as a metaphor, but I also wanted to sort of undermine apocalyptic conventions and really create an internal apocalypse. The world looks fine, but the people are deeply shaken.
Well, and they do what people do when they're deeply shaken. They start forming cults and groups and believing in other things and trying to separate themselves out and take sides, and it becomes very divisive. And as the premiere of your HBO show opens. It's 3 years after whatever it was that happened, the town of Mapleton about to celebrate its first Heroes Day to mark this third anniversary. But the police chief, Kevin Garvey, who, by the way, was the mayor in your book, the mayor is now played by Amanda Warren, a woman. They're arguing about having this event because of these splinter groups. One of them is called the GR, the Guilty Remnant. Let's listen.
The whole town, the same place at the same time. On the anniversary. You're inviting them to show up.
The GR isn't a threat. If they want to stage a nonviolent protest, that's their right.
You were at the homecoming. They walked right onto the field.
And then they walked right off. No harm done.
They are trying to provoke us.
Then don't get provoked.
So a couple questions. First of all, why did you make Kevin Garvey now the police chief instead of the mayor?
You know, Damon and I tried a draft of the pilot where Kevin was the mayor. And HBO was very forceful in saying that they thought that to have our main character as the mayor kept him a little bit separate from the action. He was kind of a peacemaker between the town and the guilty remnant, the GR, this mm-hmm. cult that wears white and chain smokes. And they wanted him more in the fray. And so the way that we responded to that critique that they gave was to shift him from the mayor to the police chief. And I didn't feel like that was an enormous compromise, because both the mayor and the chief of police are trying to hold this social order together when it's on the verge of falling apart.
That's kind of interesting that an official isn't seen as being in the fray, because it is true when you watch TV shows, the president or the mayor or whatever, they show up flanked by their handlers and then they disappear. They just like, come through the scene. Well, but the GR, the guilty remnant, as you say, they dress in white and they chain smoke. Because?
What they want to do, that they say they want to be living reminders. They really object to this sense that time is moving on, that society is returning back to normal, that people are trying their best to pretend that this thing didn't happen or to relegate it to the past. And so there's some mixture of ascetic religion and street theater. They wear white clothes, they chain smoke, they take a vow of silence, and they wander the streets of town and just stare at people and get in their face. And sometimes they occupy buildings, sometimes they disrupt public events. And there's starting to be a real, but they practice nonviolence, but the town is becoming violent toward them.
So here you are immersed in the topic that you were writing about in 2011 and expanding on it. It's sad because if you think about it, in the rapture, your baby might go and you don't go. That's a terrible loss. Do you ever think about yourself?
If you're asking me, do I think about losing the people in my life and how I go on? Yes, I do. And, you know, my father died in a car accident. It was 10 years ago, but mm-hmm. still it was like he was there one day and he was not there the next. And it took me a very, very long time. I don't think I still have fully absorbed that. And you just fear for the people you love in a different way once that happens. And it happens pretty much to everybody in some way or other.
And it certainly happens to just about everybody in The Leftovers. Someone they love is gone. That's Tom Perata. His new HBO show, The Leftovers, is based on his book of the same name. It debuts this Sunday. He's co-creator, executive producer. And we wish you a lot of luck with it, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin.
Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson, in awe of HBO and all the great things that they do. Can't wait to see it this weekend. This is Here and Now.